Welcome to Shelby Confessions, a mix of inspiration and understanding to help you cherish the day.
Hello. Today I kind of want to talk about it's crazy on how this I had a whole topic in my head of how I wanted this episode to go, but then I got a call from my dad. And I mean, if you listen to my podcast, you know, frequently or whatever, me and my dad are like the weirdest relationship. We don't really talk. We're cordial when we talk, but we don't really, you know, talk as much. And he told me his mom died, which is my grandmother. And it kind of like, I didn't really know how to feel about it. I haven't seen her in years, which is my fault. But I didn't really know how to feel. So I just, in the time of somebody grieving, I asked him what happened. And I didn't cut him off. I just let him talk. And when it comes down to grieving or losing someone, or someone you know closest to you losing someone, there are no words that can absolutely center a person from grieving. And the only reason why I didn't say anything, coming from my own experience, my own emotions, how I feel about the situation, but also is recognizing my father. And I could hear in his voice how in disbelief he was, or how he didn't expect it, because he was the only child. And for years, my dad had taken care of his mom. You know what I mean? He's been clean for like 5 to 6 years off of drugs. And that's the one thing that worries me, because he said, he was like, at least she got to see me clean and change my life around. And I'm like, yeah, just don't go into grief, you know. But I didn't want to say that, you know, because this podcast is kind of like confessions, right? This podcast is kind of like me working and healing. And one thing I've noticed about a passing of death is that the grief of losing that person, of knowing that they're not there, is an unbearable feeling. It's so overwhelming. It's so consuming. The most traumatic deaths that happened in my life were my grandfather. And I remember it distinctively because I was at school. I was in middle school. And I remember he went to the hospital for pneumonia. And we went go visit him before I went to school. And he was like, I'm going to be out. And the doctor was like, yeah, you take care of yourself. You know, you good. And he's like, yeah, you know, I love you. And, yeah, but everything will be fine. And I went to school. And one of my cousins, and this isn't a first cousin, this isn't a second cousin, this is like a third cousin, came to school to pick me up. And I was just like, this is a little weird. And on the ride there, he was like, your grandfather passed away. And I didn't really acknowledge it. I'm like, you like the third or fourth cousin. Do you know I live with these people? Like, I live with my grandparents at the time. And I was like, I live with these people. You don't know what you're talking about. I seen Papa yesterday. And he was like, I just want you to be strong. And he kept talking. And I really did not pay attention to what he said because I was in such disbelief. It hit me when I seen my grandmother cry for the first time. And she cried when I was at the house. And then she went in her room and she stared at his clothes. And then she was just like, we have to get rid of it. Just get rid of it. And that's when I knew it was real. And I broke. Even for like his funeral, I was there, but I really wasn't there. And, you know, when I go back home, sometimes I just go to the grave site because I'm still like, I mean, that was in middle school. I'm 27 years old, and I'm still in disbelief that he passed. And then rewind to, which this was a part of my early episodes. So if you want to check him out, I'm just playing. But one of my close friends passed away, my friend Corey. And he wasn't, and the thing is, he wasn't my best friend. He was like a really good friend to me. And this is the time when I was homeless. And we all used to go to my friend Salika's house, you know, because Salika was dating his best friend at the time. And like me and Corey used to go out and everything. The crazy part is, his mom lived right next door, like, because we lived in the projects. His mom lived next door to Salika. So he would just walk out and come to Salika's house. So crazy part is, the night before, he was like, "Shelby, come out with me." And I'm like, "By myself with you?" He's like, "Yeah, let's go out. I want to go out with you." And we went out. We had an awesome time, danced, everything. And on our way back, I don't know, I felt like he knew something. I just felt like he knew something. And he had this long conversation with me about being true to myself. And he was like, "You're such a good person with such a good heart." He was like, "I just really want you to open up yourself more, travel more, do things more." Like, he was like, "You have a potential to be something and change lives." He was like, "And you just, you know, you sit up here and don't do nothing." He was like, you know, because at the time I was dressing tomboyish, but I was trying to find my own style. He was like, "Are you comfortable right now?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm comfortable." He's like, "I notice sometimes you dress up and you're uncomfortable." He was like, "Why? Like, girl, you look good. Like, be proud of that." He was like, "You have no confidence within yourself." And he was like, "I see it." And he was like, "In this world, you have to have confidence with yourself, because nobody gonna love you but you." We sit up in the car and talk for like a good hour or two. And he was just confessing to me, like, he wanted to, we had, if I could go on and on about that conversation, you would just be baffled. And then, you know, the next day or night or whatever, like, I see a police car. Like I said, we live in the hood. So I'm just like, "Oh Lord, somebody got to fight outside." I say, "Police car." And at the time I was sleeping on the couch because I just got off work. I seen the car flashing lights and I was like, "Oh, it's nothing." I went to sleep. And then I heard Salika and Amy scream. And I found out he passed. And I didn't believe that either. Like, I didn't believe that he had passed. I'm like, we just went out. We just drank. But it was reported he hung himself and committed suicide. And I didn't believe it was happening. And for years it took, like, for me, because we used to go to this club called Crystals every weekend, like, party. After he passed, I went to Crystals and I broke down crying because I couldn't believe I was there and he wasn't there. And nobody, like I said, I wasn't his best friend, but we built a friendship. And that night he had that conversation with me, changed my life, because whatever spirit he was going through, whatever, he decided to save me. But I felt regret because I'm like, I live next door to you. And if you would have knocked on the door and just said, "I'm lost, help me," I would have done the same thing you gave me that night to him. And it probably could have saved his life. But then I feel like it's so many emotions. You know, and sometimes I cry about it, or sometimes I get frustrated about it because I miss him and I wish he was here. Like, I feel like, what would he be doing right now? Probably dancing or taking 50 pictures or being in another state. Because he didn't really like staying. He didn't like staying in Lake Charles, honestly. He wanted to travel. If he ever got an opportunity to travel, honey, he was traveling. He was gone. So charismatic. Like, he was just about their life to just explore. And I try to be like that from him. But with those two separate entities of grief, of losing somebody, two things that are constant with me is that I never want to believe that that's true. You know, and they're like, that person passed away. I just saying them, whatever. You're delusional. You're sipping things. Something is wrong with you. And it's hard to accept the fact that that person actually passed away. And then after that moment of shock, and you actually see that person in the casket, and you realize that I think the thing about grief that holds and grips people is the fact that you question yourself, what could I have done? What could I have said? What we could have done together to prolong this? Or what did I miss that I could have said to them before they passed? Like, there's always this what if factor that drives a person during grief insane. I'm not going to say nuts. It drove me insane. And it made me, for the first time in my life, want to change the past. I want to change every moment I had with this person to make it even 10 times better than what it already was. To make me want to hug them longer. To make me want to just tell them I love them. And that's a hard pill to swallow, to regret. Nobody wants to regret anything. Nobody wants to hold on to the fact that you didn't get a chance to do what you needed to do. And that's the first process of grieving, of losing somebody. And then there's the fact of denial. Like, you do not want to believe in this person with so much life, or this person that meant so much to them. If it's a child, if it's a loved one, if it's, you know, it's just anybody that impacts your life and they're gone. It's a hard pill to swallow that this is true. We all want it to be a fictitious moment when in all actuality it's not. And with my dad, I didn't want to throw in his face like, you didn't do this. I don't want to do that, because I know that he was going through this moment in disbelief. Like, I'm talking to my daughter that my mother is gone. And that's a hard pill to swallow. But I find with the dynamic of the deaths, like, my grandfather was way back when I was in middle school, 27. Corey's death was when I was in high school. I think I was like a sophomore, a junior. And I'm 27. These are like 10, 20 years of a magnitude of separations, and they still affect me. But the thing that I realize that every day is something anew. Some days I don't think about them or whatever. And then sometimes I do. Like, there's this song Corey used to play all the time when this guy broke up with him. And it's Kareem Bailey Ray, Just Like a Star. Honey, he played that song for 2 days straight. Me and Amy was like, if he don't stop. Like, it wasn't his favorite song. He was just heartbroken. He played that song for 2 days straight, over and over and over. It drove us nuts to where we clowned him for it. And he was like, well, fine, I ain't gonna play it no more. Yeah, you know, like, it was the whole thing. But to this day, if I hear that song on the radio, I break. Like, I don't even notice I'm crying, but I start to cry. Or with my grandfather, he is a huge blues jazz fan. His favorite artist was B.B. King. And I remember one time his sister had passed away and he started drinking, and my uncle had bought him, like I said, I lived with my grandparents at the time. My uncle had bought him a B.B. King limited edition CD collection. But the only song my grandfather kept playing was The Thrill Is Gone by B.B. King. And I mean, nobody really plays that on the radio, but if, like, my Uncle Chris was playing it, And I didn't realize it, and I started to cry. So I had to go over into the bathroom and like fix myself. And then my uncle, you could tell he felt something because he was just staring. He was staring off a good bit. And he said, I love my daddy. And my point is that no matter how much time convinces you, it still holds weight of a passing. The only thing that is gratification to me is that these two entities that came into my life changed my life and impacted me in a way to be a better person. That I feel like without them being in my life, I don't know if I would be Shelby. I don't know if this podcast would exist. I don't know if I would have been able to write. I don't know if the idea of me would exist if it wasn't for these two people that impacted me so well. And then I also remember each conversation I've had with these people impacting me, pushing me, loving me, making me feel grounded, building my confidence, you know, helping me find my way when I was completely lost. That in honor of them, I continue on. And that's the crazy part that people fail to realize is that when you're grieving, you're so hurt that you want them to be there. When you fail to realize is that they're no longer there, but if they were, they would push you to continue on. They would push you to fight. They would push you to live. They would push you to smile. They would push you into a world of your own and to be happy. And when I was talking to my dad, I'm like I said, I never interrupted him. I let him say what he needed to say. I let him tell me the full story of my grandmother on her last 2 weeks on this earth. And he said, you know, she said one thing to me about he wanted to take her to the doctor. And she said, well, how long you want me to stay here? I'm 98. I don't want to go. And he is like, I was hurt by that. But he was like, I realized that she was suffering. I said, and you have to think about it. Now she's at peace. You don't know the burden of somebody who's going through something, and especially when they're ill or they're close to their death, of how much pain they're in, how much suffering they're going through. And at those moments, they will tell you in a profound confession is they want you to find peace because they found peace. Or even when it's a tragedy and somebody is gone too soon, or they're killed or murdered or anything of those instances, we fail to realize at the funeral at how at peace they are. To where if they're looking down from the heavens, how they're witnessing their family, their friends, their loved ones come together in honor of them and how at peace they are. I'm not saying, you know, the next day, just forget them and get over it. No. Don't forget these people. These people, you love them. It's hard to forget a person that passes that you care for and you love. Understand that. Don't forget them. Remember every beautiful, loving moment, happy moment with these people and carry them on. Remember their legacy. Remember the things that they impact with you. Remember the things that they say. But each day, take within you the fact of peace. Each day, build yourself and dedicate your life into impacting and being a better you and representation to them. For no longer being there. Yes, they've passed. Yes, they're no longer here, but you're still here. And in honor of them, that's the thing with grief. We never pay attention to the honor that we're still here. We can't get them back. No. But the one thing I promise you, over and over, that these people wish is that you continue to live on and make them proud. That their love for you is so overwhelming and so exuding that they're watching over you like an angel and guidance, spirit and love. And I know every day is may get easier or may get harder or it may be overwhelming. But at the end of the day, remember them and make them proud.
In conclusion, I just want to tell you guys to promise to cherish the day. And it's your girl Shelby Henning signing off. Have a good one, y'all.